Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. This episode is about movement and specifically how movement can be supportive and even calming for the nervous system when you have a condition like chronic fatigue syndrome, post-viral fatigue, long COVID, or some other energy-limiting condition. Often when it comes to exercise and chronic fatigue or other limiting and energy limiting conditions, there can be a lot of confusion around exercise or movement. And there can also be a lot of fear. Many people who have experienced these health issues have had difficult experiences with exercise. They've either been told just to push through, and that hasn't worked out well, or even with being very cautious, they've maybe experienced post-exertional malaise or big, disruptive, and distressing energy crashes after exercise. So it would be inevitable that there can be a lot of fear and uncertainty around moving the body. And this is something I've spoken about in previous episodes, this idea of overcoupling, where the nervous system begins to associate exercise and fear. There's an over-association between the two, and we have to work with the nervous system to undo some of that overcoupling. But sometimes movement can actually be a really, really supportive tool in your nervous system toolbox that can help when the nervous system needs calming and it needs some discharging of sympathetic activation. So this is what I'd like to discuss in more detail today. And this all actually comes from some of my own experiences that I've had recently. If you haven't already listened to the previous episode or episode 150, I shared about how I went through this recalibration wave, I call it in the episode. And even though it was quite a brutal time to go through, it's just really helped me to deepen and embody some of my own learnings and understandings. And that's really the place from which I share this episode today is I really want to share how much movement has helped support me through this challenging period, even when, you know, some movement was causing post-exertional malaise. So I'll weave some of my own journey into the episode today. But before we do that, let's just go back to the beginning and talk about Nervous System 101. So the first thing to explain about the nervous system is that as the nervous system detects stress or a challenge, the natural response is to generate sympathetic activation. So the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system is used to mobilize energy. And so sometimes this mobilization of energy in the body can be felt as anxiety, it can be felt as restlessness, it can be felt as increased alertness, it can also sometimes contribute to this wired feeling. But the activation actually isn't a problem in itself. The activation is the body's natural survival physiology. And as the nervous system mobilizes energy to respond to certain situations, we can start to experience some of these changes in our body-based experience. So let's just bring that to life with a more practical example. If we were to backtrack many hundreds of thousands of years and we think of human beings, you know, in the wild, you're, you know, walking along in the savannah and it's a sunny day, it's not too hot, it's not too cold, you're in a beautiful landscape, the view is amazing, you're with your tribe and there's a sense of connection and you're feeling good and you're feeling in regulation. And then in the distance, you notice a lion approaching. So there's a threat signal that goes to the body. All of a sudden, you go from feeling open and grounded and regulated to experiencing this increased sympathetic energy. And this increase in sympathetic energy is mobilizing energy to your muscles so that you could maybe run away if you needed to. It's keeping your senses high. heightened and alert and hypervigilant to this lion coming closer, or it's maybe preparing you for battle in some way. So in this situation, the body is expecting that energy to move and that energy to go somewhere. That increased sympathetic activation in the system is saying, I'm getting ready. There's a readiness here. There's a preparedness here. We're mobilizing energy. So the moment that you need it, it will be available and this will potentially save your life. And so what that really means is when there's a buildup of this energy in the system, it is felt in the body. But in this sort of survival situation, it's probably going to get used up by, you know, running away or fighting or taking some other action, and then it's discharged. But what can happen in our everyday life is that we have this build up of energy in the body. Sympathetic activation is mobilizing energy, and then it's got nowhere to go. It's got nowhere to move, and we have no means of discharging it. And this is particularly relevant in individuals with chronic fatigue because we're very sedentary. We don't move a lot. And often what we will do is we will experience this heightened sympathetic tone, like feeling anxious, feeling wired, feeling internal trembling, feeling unsteadiness inside the body. And instead of actually doing something to move that energy through the system, what do? We almost shut down further out of fear. And therein can sometimes lie the problem. Usually in nature, what happens is we move this energy through the system by running, by shaking, by physical action, maybe by vocalization, you know, hey, get away, or whatever might happen. As we run, as we shake, as we generate some sort of physical activity, we are able to move the sympathetic charge through the body. And then what we experience is a discharge of sympathetic energy, and the body is able to complete the mobilization response. And when the discharge process happens successfully, then the nervous system can return towards its parasympathetic state, which is a state in which we have more regulation. And so here it's really important to say and express that it's not necessarily the activation that is the problem. It's getting stuck in the activation that is ultimately something that drives the symptoms over time. A healthy nervous system should be able to feel regulated and calm, and then it should be able to increase its levels of activation appropriately in response to some sort of stress or threat. That's normal human biology. The challenge with chronic illness is that sometimes people get stuck in the activation. That mobilized sympathetic energy has got nowhere to go. It stays in the system, and then it can be experienced as pain. It can be experienced as anxiety. It can be experienced as a racing heartbeat. It can be experienced as temperature changes or inflammation or other types of symptoms, not because the activation in the nervous system is bad or wrong, but because the individual has lost the inability to pendulate and move between activation states. So the ultimate physiology in this situation is that the activation gets stuck. And many people with chronic illness or long-term stress, they end up holding this unresolved activation in the body, and that can start to amplify symptoms or be a complete driver of symptoms altogether. This doesn't necessarily mean, as I said already, that the body is broken. In fact, the body is doing a good job because it is mobilizing energy. But the system hasn't had a chance yet to complete the mobilization cycle. And therefore, because it cannot complete, it cannot return back to a nice, steady baseline again. Based on the topic of this episode today, this is where gentle movement can really help. gentle rhythmic movement can help move mobilized energy from sympathetic activation through the system. And it can actually be a way that we can process activation in the body in a very, very safe and supportive way. The key principle here is that the movement needs to be gentle, the movement needs to be rhythmic, and therefore it might be something like, depending on your capacity, it could be something like walking, it could be something like swimming, it could even just be gentle, like standing and rocking, or gentle yoga flow, it could be something like Qigong, any movement that is gentle and soft and has a reassuring rhythm to it could potentially be supportive here. And so what we really want these movements to provide is predictable rhythm, controlled levels of activation, so you're not suddenly going to do something high intensity and then, you know, something low intensity, but it's like predictable, it's steady, and there's like a sense of like sensory feedback which is happening. In the appropriate dosage, because obviously everyone is going to be different, this can really help to organize and just charge sympathetic energy gradually from the system. The rhythmic movement is especially regulating because it creates predictability in the system. And that predictability can be interpreted by the nervous system as safety. The nervous system tends to feel safest when inputs are repetitive. So the same things are happening. They're well paced, so not too fast, not too slow, and they're organized. And this is why, in particular, things like walking, swimming can feel very different to intense workouts, because they give the nervous system structured movement rather than chaotic activation. Here, I thought it might be helpful just to share a little bit of my own personal experience. In the previous episode, I talked a little bit about some of the intense activation I've been experiencing in my nervous system over the past couple of months. And just to say, the reason why I'm now talking about this is because I do feel like I've moved through that process and I'm out the other side of it. But something I was experiencing was very, 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 very high levels of activation, sympathetic charge, which I interpreted as anxiety. And a lot of this, what I shared in the previous episode, is it does link back to just where I am in my own sort of, call it a healing cycle, so to speak, processing some very, very old anxiety. It's not that this anxiety is new to me, but it's more that because I have so much more safety now, because I have so much more capacity now, I'm now feeling the anxiety I wasn't able to feel. It was undercoupled before. And now my system is finally able to come into contact with it, and I have just been working through it. One of the experiences I had recently was, there have been a few. So there was one night where I had a terrible sleep, woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I felt so activated in my system, and I just felt like I wanted to scream and cry for help. It was very, very intense. It was very overwhelming, and I hope it's not triggering or too triggering for anybody listening to this. If you do just need to skip ahead a couple of minutes, then please do. And eventually I didn't get back to sleep. But I just felt like this, I just need to move my body. So I made the decision to go to the gym. And the way that I had adjusted my training was just very, very gentle. So I actually was doing some resistance training, but it was very sort of no heavy weights, very like moving with the breath. I think the functional patterns that I do lends itself to this anyway. It is more sort of rhythmic types of movements. And I didn't do a lot. I just like moved a little, and then I'd rest for a couple of minutes, and I'd move again, and I'd rest for a couple of minutes. I just did like 20 minutes, nothing too heavy, nothing too strenuous. And then after I came back, I was like, Oh my gosh, that like really, really helped to settle things a lot. And then there was another example when it was a Monday morning. I was going for a little walk on the beach before work. And I remember walking down the hill to the beach thinking, I feel awful. And then I connected a little bit more with my body and I just was like, there's nothing wrong with you. This is just your nervous system. This is just anxiety. And I just slowed my walking right down. I connected to the sensations in my body and I just walked and I kept the steady, comforting rhythm. And then little by little, I noticed that that anxiety in my body was really settling down. And then finally, I've also had another anxiety I described from the Monday morning sort of, you know, waxed and waned across the week. And on the Friday morning, I went for a very gentle swim and again, slow, rhythmic and warm water. And it also just really helped to restabilize my system. So, you know, I guess the moral of the story here is that sometimes we don't want to exercise because we're like, oh, you know, if I have fatigue, I shouldn't expend too much energy on exercising. I shouldn't do too much. But sometimes exercise can make us feel better. And if we are experiencing post-exertional malaise, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and stop movement completely. We need to find the movement that helps us feel better. And this does depend on where you are in your journey, because there might be some people, there definitely are some people who have other things they need to work on before gentle movement could be supportive. So what I mean by that is there might be sort of a baseline of nervous system regulation that needs to happen before gentle movement could be supportive. Or there might need to be a routine and a rhythm that needs to be established in an individual's day before they would be ready to layer some movement into that routine. Or there might be some blood sugar imbalances or some dysautonomia which needs to be supported before they can layer in gentle movement. But if you are in a place where you can move, maybe this is a better way of saying it, then sometimes it can be really helpful to learn the distinction between when movement would actually be more regulating and then when you are just tired and need to rest. And I think that has been one of the big, big lessons that's come to me recently. And when I say big lessons, it's not that I didn't already know this. I knew it on a cognitive level, but I think knowing it cognitively and having the embodied experience of working through it and feeling it in your body and learning it for yourself so that the lesson is embedded in your cells is a completely different thing. And that's what I've really got from some of the experiences I've had recently is that, you know, we just like how powerful a regulating tool gentle movement can be. And it's so great as well to acknowledge that the swimming, which is a little bit more cardiovascularly intense than the walking, is also very regulating for my system so that I've got, you know, more options and it can still feel like I'm getting a workout, even though obviously the goal when we're doing this type of movement is not for a workout, it is for regulation. There still are some physiological adaptations from exercise that are being achieved through the workout itself. So with all of that in mind, it might also be helpful just to speak to like when this would potentially go wrong. Often people with fatigue will struggle with traditional workouts, not because movement is harmful, but just because the nervous system experiences that type of workout differently. So for example, I know I did describe that one day I went to the gym and I did a very light workout and it was very regulating for me. But there have also been times when workouts have been very dysregulating for me. And that can be because of the sudden intensity. You know, if your heart rate is usually around 70, 80 beats per minute, and now you're getting it up to 150 at times during a workout, that's a sudden change in intensity. But based on where you are in your journey, your level of stability and overall capacity, even smaller fluctuations could just be too much stress on your system. So a jump in your heart rate by 30 beats per minute might be too much right now. Sometimes people hold their breath when they exercise. Not breathing well with exercise could also create some distress signaling for the nervous system. We might get sympathetic spikes just from the exercise itself and trying to mobilize fuel to support the exercise. And even just the pressure that we're putting on ourselves, to exercise, to perform. And depending on the environment, like if you are going to a gym to do some exercise, there might be the lighting, the sound, how busy it is. All of those things can be extra stimulation. Even though I enjoy my gym workouts, I don't really like being indoors with artificial lighting, the music, and all the sensory overload from the environment. I would much prefer if I could do my workouts outside on the beach. That would be a much more pleasant environment to do them. And I sometimes do that in the summer, but in the winter, it is helpful to be in the warm. But what I'm basically saying here is that if your system is already sensitive, then adding in, sudden changes in intensity, increased environmental stimulation, increased, pressure on performance, all of these things can not necessarily support the body to regulate again. And then the PEM is more from the sympathetic activation lingering in the system versus the exercise intolerance itself. And that was, often my experience when I've been exercising is like, I'm strong enough, I'm fit enough, I have the energy to do the exercise. But afterwards, there's like a sympathetic hangover because of the stress and the strain. So here it's really important to distinguish between movement for fitness and movement for regulation. And I know that I said, I like the fact that I can regulate with swimming because I am actually getting some fitness benefits, even though that's nice, like to acknowledge that that's not the point. So don't take that on board. But rather, when we exercise for fitness, it might focus on, are we building muscle? Are we creating cardiovascular adaptations? How, are we able to tolerate intensity? Can we push our body? Can we burn calories maybe in some cases? But movement for regulation is about rhythm. It's about breath. It's about embodiment. It's about pacing. It's about the safety or the felt sense of safety in your nervous system. So does your body feel like it's softening with the movement versus like constricting? And so for many people recovering from fatigue, just regulatory movement can be a much more supportive approach, especially if just generally you're in a position where you're trying to add some movement back in. We want to choose things that are regulating for the system so that we create this idea that movement is safe, movement is supportive, movement is nourishing. And the more rhythmic, the more gentle, the more well-paced movements are going to help to create that. So how do you know when you've found the right thing for you? Well, this is when, like after movement or after exercise, you feel calmer. You feel like there's less buzzing, there's more settling in your system. You feel mentally clearer, so you should feel a little bit more alive, a little bit more alert, a little bit more present. You feel less internally tense, maybe a little bit more open and expanded, and much more grounded. You might not necessarily feel like you're bouncing off the walls with energy, but you might feel what I would often describe as more coherent. So the energy that you do have is more organized. And the system as a whole is more settled. And that can often be a sign that of regulation rather than overload. So it would be negligence of me not to mention here that we still need to approach movement carefully. It's such an individual journey. I've recorded many other podcasts on movement and exercise and chronic fatigue and shared a lot of my personal story. but not everybody is me. And that means that each individual is going to have their own relationship and own progression and trajectory as they introduce movement. So even rhythmic movement can potentially be destabilizing for an unstable system. And therefore, it's important that before we introduce movement, that we have a sense of stability in the system. Where does that stability come from? Well, it comes from having routines in our life that give a sense of predictability and structure. It comes from waking up at the same time, going to bed at the same time. It comes from eating in a regular eating routine and stabilizing blood sugar. It comes from sending positive and safe signals to the nervous system generally, and then obviously picking movement that feels safe and introducing that in a titrated way into one's routine. So we want to make sure that we have some foundations in place before we ramp up the movement dial. And so here we really want to just still encourage that as you introduce movements into your routine, that this is done gradually. You notice how your nervous system responds. You support your nervous system around any responses. And we don't try to test our capacity too quickly. We don't try to ramp up too quickly. We might do something new and then pull back and allow space for adjustments and recalibration. And it's definitely not about pushing the body harder or before it's ready. The goal is really just to start with a teeny, teeny, tiny amount. Check in with the nervous system, see if that movement felt safe, if it felt organizing, or if it felt overwhelming or chaotic or disorganizing or dysregulating. And if it feels dysregulating, then you know you did a little bit too much, or there might be some other adjustments that need to be made. So just in wrapping up here, the real thing I wanted to encourage from this episode is that movement doesn't have to be something that the body fears. If there is an overcoupling of fear and movement, we can work with that somatically. That's not what this episode is about. But it's really just to understand that movement can be a tool in your nervous system toolbox. And it can be really helpful in some cases, especially if you're someone who does experience a lot of anxiety, a lot of heightened sympathetic activation, that it can help you to process that activation. It can help you to complete stress responses, and it can help the body to return to regulation. Remember that sometimes the role of movement isn't to build fitness. That can be helpful in the fatigue recovery journey in terms of, you know, strengthening and creating good and healthy mitochondria as part of the process. But sometimes it's simply to help the nervous system remember how to move energy safely through the body. So I hope you have enjoyed listening to this reflection today, and I will see you in the next episode.